Hello, and welcome to episode 40 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. This interview is timely considering Valentine's Day is in a couple of weeks. This can be a tough time for many people, so I hope that this interview reaches anyone who may be struggling. My guest today will share her experience with betrayal and how she picked up the pieces and moved forward. My guest today is here to talk about something that many of us have probably experienced. She's going to share her journey and give some tips on how to move forward after going through an experience like this. I'm going to turn it over to her and let her introduce herself and tell everyone a little bit about who she is and what she does. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Jess. Oh, it's such an honor and privilege to be here. And us chatting off before we started hitting the record button, it's amazing how many connections we have to each other just as a whole. And it's really, truly just a small world. So thank you so much for the honor and privilege to be here. I'm so excited to share this information with you and your audience. And I know it's a very difficult conversation to have. It's very taboo. And most people talk about it in whispers initially. And then once they realize that they have that in common, oh, the floodgates open and suddenly, yeah, me too. Yeah, I experienced that as well. Yeah. So allowing me to introduce myself, my name is Vanessa Cardenas. I am a betrayal recovery specialist. Yeah.
Okay, I've never met one of those before.
It makes for interesting conversations when my husband and I are at dinner parties together or any kind of networking event or a gallery showing. Yes, when I get introduced and I say, well, I'm a betrayal recovery specialist, I usually get a perplexed look to start with. Uh-huh. And then I get an, oh, like an understanding. Yeah. And either somebody knows somebody who's gone through betrayal and cheating and infidelity and adultery, or they've gone through it themselves.
Yep.
Whether they were the betrayer or the betrayed. Mm-hmm. And it's a very hard thing to go through because it is a loss. Mm-hmm. It is a loss of a relationship. And it's a grieving process. And grieving is not linear. A lot of people think it's steps. You take this step and then you take that step and you keep moving up to recovery and relief. Doesn't quite work that way, unfortunately.
Exactly.
And when we set that expectation of, well, I should be at this step by this date, we set ourselves up for disappointment because of that. So I work with clients to get them through the healing process of recovery from betrayal. Now, betrayal is multifaceted. Yeah. It could be intimate partner betrayal. And most people associate betrayal with that first, cheating, infidelity, and adultery. Then there is self-sabotage. Yes, this is when we betray ourselves, where we doubt our capabilities, where we make ourselves smaller than we actually are. Mm-hmm. So self-sabotage. And then there's a third. And this one is very prevalent, but very much under the rug. People do not talk about it. They do not want to admit it in mixed company at all. And that's the betrayal in your career. That's when a colleague steals your idea. That's when your boss takes credit for your work. That's when you have a situation where you feel not appreciated in your job and you slowly start to just kind of ghost your job. You kind of coast through it and you're betraying yourself. Again, we're back to self-sabotage. You're also betraying your employer as well. So lots of multifaceted situations of betrayal. And I work with all of them. I have worked with teams that have experienced some sort of animosity and just angst. I've worked with couples as well as individuals. Initially, because nobody studies betrayal truly unless they've gone through it.
Yeah.
And I went through it. Mm-hmm. I have to go back a little bit.
Please do. We want to hear the story.
Well, you see, I was addicted to certainty. Mm-hmm. I was addicted to the check boxes. Mm-hmm. I thought that if I went to a good school, got my college degree, got a good job, married my high school sweetheart, had the, 2.3 kids and the house and the white picket fence and the two cars and money in the bank, I would be inoculated from anything bad happening to me. I was doing all the things right. I was everything to everyone.
Yeah.
Life was good. Yeah. No problems whatsoever. Yeah, that's hard to say that now, but you have your standard things. Every married couple has their standard things. Yeah. But I thought that I was in a responsible relationship. Uh-huh. And my husband and I became very comfortable with each other. And then we became complacent with each other. And our conversations centered around our children, around our house, our finances, our careers. Mm-hmm. But we kind of stopped talking about our relationship because we took it for granted. We just, we're married. This is great. And we were beyond 20 years. And again, checkbox, I'm inoculated. This is great. This is wonderful. We're gonna spend our golden years together. And one day we're walking through Central Park because I live in New York, and my husband sits me down on a bench and he says, "Vanessa, I need to tell you something." And I turn to look at him, and again, now slow motion. And he says, "I've met someone." And I was like, "What?" I couldn't comprehend it. And if you've ever seen any of the Avenger movies when Thanos snaps his fingers and everybody turns to dust, that's what I felt like. I felt like I just completely evaporated, like I was no longer seen. Mm-hmm. And I was filled with such rage. Oh,
yeah.
I was the worst Karen ever that day. I was screaming my head off.
Yeah.
My reaction was the worst possible thing that I could do. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it caused my husband to completely shut down. Mm-hmm. He got tight-lipped and didn't say anything more other than, "We need to go see a marriage counselor. We need to see a therapist. We need to see someone. We need to figure this out." And through therapy and through coaching, I discovered many other things.
Uh-huh.
Because it's always not just the one thing. The one thing is the nucleus.
Yeah.
There's rings around it and other things that I then subsequently started to beat myself up over, that I didn't see it, that I was blindsided by it. How could I not see this? As it turned out, my husband's confession was a cry for help. It was another woman's paying attention to me.
Right,
I don't want that other woman. I want you to pay attention to me. I want us to get to that moment of the initial intoxication that we had when we were dating, when we were just newlyweds. And somewhere along the line, we lost ourselves. And now this other woman enters the picture, giving my husband the confidence and boosting his ego, and he's still got it. And he's feeling all these wonderful feelings inside, but it's not related to the other woman. He wants it for me. And he thought that by telling me that he's met someone, that I would snap into, "Oh no, it's, me, choose me," type of thing. And he didn't expect my reaction of just rage and "How could you?" and "You've got to leave." Uh-huh. He wanted to put the brakes on everything. He's like, "Oh no. This is all falling apart. This is not the way I intended for this to be." Mm-hmm. And I fell into darkness that it all consuming. Mm-hmm. I was on autopilot for weeks. Mm-hmm. I could not think straight. I was so overwhelmed with the flood of emotion, and it's absolutely normal, But I didn't know that at the time. I thought I was completely going crazy. I would be laying on my bedroom floor in the fetal position, crying my eyes out, just sobbing, just a absolute pity party I was having for myself. And I was beating myself up. I couldn't understand how I'm a smart woman. I'm a psychology major. I got a degree in psychology. I'm a C-suite executive. How is this happening to me? How is it possible that my husband, who I love and adore, could do this to me? I was so offended. I was so angry. I was so self-absorbed. I couldn't even see him. He was a complete stranger to me. And I remember just being in so much agony. So much agony. And I laid on that floor one day and I begged and I pleaded with God, source, spirit, anybody, please, if I can get a reprieve, if I could just sleep, I promise that I would help someone else, that I never wanted anybody to feel this way, ever. And I made a promise. I made a pact. I wanted it so badly. And I finally fell asleep. Oh, sleep. When you go through betrayal, sleep is like the last thing you get, because your thoughts just ruminate over and over and over again. Your whole life just plays on a merry-go-round over and over and over again. And you're exhausted. You're just exhausted, mind, body, and spirit. I finally slept and I woke up feeling a little better. And then the next day I felt a little better. And the third day I felt a little better. The fourth day I got the shove. You promised. Yeah. Now do something. You have to do something. It is not that time heals all wounds. It's time and work that heals all wounds. Get to work.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Yeah. And I dove headfirst into recovery. I read everything I could get my hands on. I have always been a studious student, a perpetual student, and I dove headfirst into it. I read all of the greats. I went to all of the great workshops. And for me, I needed to pick and choose from each person what resonated with me. It's not to say that one wasn't one size fits all for me. I liked this from her, and I liked that from him, and I liked this from her, and I pulled them all together. And I realized, wait a second, I've got something here. I've got something here that I can actually share with others. And that prompted me to really focus my energy on specializing in betrayal.
Yeah.
Because I could speak to it. I went through it. I felt it. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was I did my book. And my book was the book I needed. Because as I mentioned, I read everything. My nightstand was littered with every single possible book I could get my hands on. If it mentioned the word betrayal, I bought it. It was mine, you know, because I wanted help. I wanted to be fixed. I was fixated on being fixed. And then I realized, no, it's not about being fixed. Not at all. And the revelation that I got, the moment, the pivotal moment in time, is a brilliant woman, Debbie Silber, said it best. And she wrote it in her book as well, that though the betrayal was done to you, it wasn't about you. Oh my gosh. When I absorbed that in, when I read it superficially, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But when I allowed it to soak in and realize, you know what? Wait a second. This had nothing to do with me. This was all him. This was how he was feeling. This was his actions to try to get my attention. But he went about it the wrong way.
Absolutely.
Still his actions.
Yeah.
He did this. Mm-hmm. I didn't do this.
Yeah.
And once I made that shift, oh, it was as if 40 pounds came off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I felt so much better.
Yep.
And now I see that. And I see it with my clients. when they have that pivotal moment where something clicks.
Yep.
And it's just something being said, something pivoting in such a way. I'll give a perfect example. I worked with a female client whose husband was looking at pornography, very much into porn. He loved the buzz of his phone. The dopamine hit that he got with his phone was very intoxicating for him. Mm-hmm. And he had to go through his own recovery, his right. own porn addiction or sex addiction, mm-hmm. his own recovery. And I worked with his wife. Mm-hmm. And his wife really, really struggled because it went from porn to actual physical contact with someone. And that was the devastating moment for her. Mm-hmm. She was, and I say it in air quotes, she was okay with the pornography when they watched it together. That was their lifestyle, their relationship.
Right.
But when he was doing it by himself for self-gratification, and it then escalated to a woman, mm-hmm. not an affair partner, he had sex with another woman. Mm-hmm. That's what broke her.
Yeah.
We talked about it at great length. And I mentioned something to her that I had read a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I apologize for not giving proper credit, but it is that if you think of it as masturbation with a partner, that might help. And when she heard that, yeah. it clicked for her. She realized that the sex was an act. It wasn't an emotion. He wasn't emotionally attached to his partner. Uh-huh. It was masturbation with a partner. The partner insignificant. I saw her face
yeah.
completely change. And it clicked for her
mm-hmm.
because, again, as women, we take on all. Yeah. We beat ourselves up when we find out that there's betrayal in our intimate partner relationship. We feel it. We take it on. We feel like something's wrong with us. I'm not good enough. I'm not sexy enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Maybe I nagged too much. Maybe I do this too much. Maybe I do that too much. We take on the blame and the shame unnecessarily, completely unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So if we can really pivot and just see it from a different perspective, even for a moment, and gain that clarity of, wait a second, it was a physical act. There was no emotion involved. There was no love involved. It was self-gratification with a partner.
Yeah.
And that was such a relief for her.
Yeah.
She was able to accept that, once again, we go back to Debbie Silber, though the betrayal was done to you, it wasn't about you.
So many things that you said stood out. Like, the part about, you know, and I think this is something that happens far too often in relationships, you get comfortable and you're in like this just flow of the day to day that without even realizing that those things are happening, like the attention and everything. And then before you know it, you're in a position where it's like, holy shit, what just happened? And like, you know, there had you guys maybe had a conversation about that before that, that whole thing could have been avoided. So there's that piece. But then also, I think it's so incredibly important for people to hear that it's not you. You are not the reason why this happened. Like, that other person did what they did because of them. That was their decision to do what they did. It is not you. And I know so many women, myself included, I mean, and obviously it could be the other way around too, but I'm speaking from my own personal experience where I've been through situations like that. And it's like, what did I do? Could I have done something differently? How did I contribute to this? And we beat ourselves up so much that it goes from the betrayal of the other person to the betrayal of ourselves, because we're thinking we did something wrong. And that's not the case. It's really not.
So true. It's so true. And we as women, because we're so used to taking everything on, we take this on. And sometimes we take on fixing, and I say that in air quotes, our husbands. There's something wrong with them. Yeah. We need to fix them. And suddenly they become our project.
Right.
They become our distraction.
Uh-huh.
We're losing sight of ourselves,
yeah,
because the most beautiful attribute of a woman and what attracts men to women, do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Confidence.
Uh-huh.
Men love a confident woman. They do. They're intoxicated with it. They see her from across the bar and they see her surrounded by friends, but she's the one in the spotlight, you know, because she is the confident one.
Uh-huh.
She's standing there with her shoulders back and just surveying the landscape and whatnot. And he, as a confident man, he'll be attracted to that.
Yeah.
Very much so. And that's what the best thing about relationships are. If we can, the suggestion that I make to preempt betrayal, if you're in a relationship and you're like, you know what? I don't want to be betrayed. How can I prevent it?
Uh-huh.
I get that question a lot.
Yeah.
And what I suggest is to be a caretaker to each other's confidence. Yes. Take the extra moment. And women, you'll know this. I'm going to give you a tip. If you tell your man that he looks good in something, oh boy, that t-shirt on you, that color t-shirt on you, oh, I really like that on you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you something. He's going to wear that t-shirt
Oh, yeah.
quite often.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Yep.
And we women do it as well. Your
Me
man
too.
tells you, wow, those pants on you, oh, those are nice.
Yep.
Your butt looks really good in those. And I understand that's sexualizing it, but we are sexual beings.
Yes, we are.
And just sometimes that little compliment or that little thing that boosts our confidence, that goes a long way. So we need to be the caretaker of each other's confidence.
Yes.
Wow, this is a really good meal. I know that we have this quite often, but something about today, did you season it a little? It's delicious. Oh my God, that goes miles.
So
It
it's
goes
something so
miles.
small, but it does. It really, it is powerful, and it does. It goes so far in making someone feel like there's so much power in making somebody feel good about themselves or
Yes.
that they did.
Exactly, exactly. So that's my suggestion for your audience.
Yeah.
So this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Really quick. And I feel like, you know, that was the takeaway from this conversation is to, you know, to do that, like water each other, not just yourself, not just the other person, water each other, because, you know, when you're in a relationship, you're supposed to be growing together. It's not supposed to be a one-sided or this person is doing more. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you know, there is, you know, it's 70-30 or 60-40, but you know, you're supposed to work together and be there for each other. So yeah, I mean, that was awesome. I always like to ask my guests, and I feel like maybe you already answered this question when you were talking about the woman that said what she said, but, I'm really big on quotes and inspirational messages. So do you have one that you would like to share with the listeners?
Well, mine goes way back. Viktor Frankl wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. Oh, it's a very powerful book. It's a hard book to read. It truly, truly is. Pick it up, you read a couple of pages, you put it down. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But he said something so profound. And again, it's those pivotal moments where somebody says something and you're like, yeah. And you have that light bulb moment and life just changes for you. He said, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Yes.
love that.
Yes, I could not change the betrayal. The betrayal already happened.
Yep.
It's in the past.
Yeah.
So I was challenged to change myself.
Yeah.
And I did wholeheartedly. I'm a completely different person than I was before betrayal. And you can read all about my journey on my website and find out more about me there.
Yes. And so what is your website? Where can people find you? Website, social media, where can they get the book? Give me all
yes,
the info.
Yes. Well, you can definitely find me at understandingear.com. Understandingear.com. It's a quote from a Stephen King book of all things. Yes, the horror writer. Yes. One of his short stories starts with a very long quote. I condense it. The hardest things to say are the most important things to say. Not for the want of a teller, but for the want of an understanding ear.
That's a good
and
one.
I carried that quote around with me for decades.
Yeah.
I loved it. And then when I decided I'm going to do this, I'm going to help others go through betrayal and the recovery, I wanted understanding ear. And I got it. I didn't have to wrestle it away from anybody. So yes, understandingear.com. I am on the socials as well, and you can find all of that information through my website. And my book, available on Amazon, Dealing with the Devastation of Your Partner's Betrayal, What to Do When Your World Falls Apart. And then I have a companion book, Dealing with the Devastation of Your Partner's Betrayal, How to Talk to Your Kids, Your Parents, Your In-Laws, Friends, and Strangers. Because yes, as you go through betrayal, you either do one of two things. You want to tell everybody. You want to shout it from the mountaintops. You want to take a Louisville Slugger to both his headlights. You want to be,
yeah.
Or you turtle in. You go within and you stay quiet and you suffer in silence because you don't know how to tell people around you, because you're going to get their judgment. You are. People are judgy.
Yeah, they
are. Just are.
Yeah.
So my best advice, if you are going through betrayal, is to get a circle around you of support. I made a terrible mistake. I thought that I was strong enough to go through it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a coach. I don't need an advisor. I don't need a mentor. I don't want to talk about this to anybody else. And that was a big mistake for me. That delayed my healing by 6 months, 8 months, because I thought I was strong enough to do it by myself.
Yeah.
It's not the case.
No,
it truly
I think
is
so
not.
Many of us do think that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So get the support that you need. There are lots of resources available. There's tons of resources on my website that you can find as well. And find the person that resonates with you, that you feel connected to, because you are going to need to be vulnerable. You are going to need to share so that you can move through all of the emotions that you have. And whether that's me or someone else, somebody, again, your audience isn't seeing me, but I have a pink streak in my hair, similar to you, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might really resonate with somebody. Ah, look at her.
Yeah.
Or they may be like, oh no, I don't like that, you know. Or I look like your buddy from college that, you know, did something to you, and you're like, yeah, no, kind of thing. Or whatever it is, but do not go through this alone. Do not go through it alone. Find the support you need. And regardless of price point, there are many free resources. There are medium grade, high grade, and then, of course, there's the elite. You know, if you really care about your relationship and you want to make it work, or you want to separate amicably so that you can have another relationship, work on it. Get somebody to help you.
Absolutely. Such important work that you do. Thank you so much for using what you went through to help other people. I truly think that's such a powerful thing. So I thank you so much for that. All of your information I will link in the show notes for this episode so that people can find the website, your social media, the book, all of the things. Real quick before we go, how do you show up in the world unapologetically?
Oh, just me. Just here I am. I stand tall. I am completely confident in my own skin, and I make no apologies for anything. Do I stick my foot in my mouth? Of course I do. Do I shove it down even further? Yeah, at times, but I'm human. I'm human. That's it. And I appreciate getting called out for it. Without a doubt, I do workshops and somebody raises their hand. I disagree. I welcome it. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's have an exchange of ideas. Let's have an exchange of perspectives because I'm always learning. I want to learn. Absolutely. But I stand confidently on my 2 feet that are always in Doc Martin boots. Yes, Doc Martin boots. I have a collection of over 200 pairs
wow.
because they ground me. They ground me. So yes, Jess, this has been fantastic.
It has. Thank you again so much for joining me today. I really, really, really enjoyed this conversation. You are a light, and I am so happy that I got to meet you.
As am I. Thank you so much.
I loved this conversation with Vanessa so much. She provided so much insight and inspiration. Please reach out to her if you feel like the services she offers may help you. All of her information is linked in the show notes for today's episode. I'd like to thank Vanessa again for joining me. Thank you all for listening. And remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.